Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. You are about to listen to program number 88 of this school. And so get your chair ready and get your Bible ready and turn up your radio and be ready to follow along on Sunday school lessons that were written years ago. We're actually looking at a Sunday school lesson that was written for Sunday, August the 6th of 1922. And it is a lesson about how the children of Israel had come back from the captivity of Babylon to rebuild the temple. And we're at a point where Elam, the man who wrote these Sunday school lessons, is teaching us the importance of worshiping God as it is written. I'd invite you to get your Bibles and turn it to the book of Ezra. And in a few moments, we'll be looking at a passage from Ezra chapter 3. In doing this and studying this lesson in our last class, we talked about how Jesus said, "In vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." And there's so many today that in their worship, they're not following what God said to do to worship. They're simply following after their traditions. And if the traditions of men mean more to you than the commandment of God, you know what Jesus said? Your worship is vain. That means it is empty. That means it is worthless. You might leave that worship service thinking, "Oh, that was so wonderful. I got so much out of that. And I feel so spiritual now that I've done these things." But if you're simply doing things to please yourselves, you are deceiving yourself. Worship is not for you. And people don't gather together to worship you. We are gathered together to worship God. And really, God is the one that at the end of our worship ought to feel wonderful about the way we worship. If we put our focus on God and not on ourselves, our worship takes on a very different character. But how do we know how to worship God acceptably? Well, the way to do that is to see what is written. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and in verse 6, we are warned not to go beyond the things that are written. In 2 John and verse 9 says, "Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." And so we want to see what the New Testament says about worshiping God acceptably and do everything the New Testament tells us to do, but to do nothing that it does not teach us to do. And that very attitude of saying, "I want to worship to please God, so I'm going to worship God God's way," is what makes our worship wonderful to God, even though some men may be bored by that. You see, a lot of men think they're the center of things. A lot of people think everything ought to center on them. But surely when we come together to worship, we know that we're to center our worship on God. Well, let's look at this as it was performed in Ezra chapter 3. And before we do that, let me tell you this. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. Now I'm going to turn to page 191 to this printed copy of Elam's notes. And old brother Elam said, "The worship of God inaugurated and described in the law of Moses, and the Jews then begin to make preparation to rebuild the temple and to worship God as he had written. Imitating Solomon in 1 Kings 5, 1-11, they purchased from the people of Zidon and Tyre timbers for this purpose. The grant also which they had from Cyrus allowed them to do this." Now let me read Ezra chapter 3, and I will be reading verses 8 through 11. Ezra 3, verses 8 through 11. Now in the second year of their coming into the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, began Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua the son of Jozadak, and the rest of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all that were come out of the captivity into Jerusalem, and appointed to the Levites from 20 years old and upward to have over the sight of the work of the house of Jehovah. Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons and the sons of Judah together to have the oversight of the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad and their sons and the brethren of the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of Jehovah, they set the priest in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with the cymbals, to praise God after the order of David, king of Israel. And they sang to one another in praising and giving thanks unto Jehovah, saying, For he is good, for his loving kindness endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised Jehovah, because the foundation of the house of Jehovah was laid. Now in the explanatory notes, Elam talks about celebrating the laying of the foundation of the temple. It was in the second month, corresponding to the last of April and the first of May, of the second year of the return of the Jews. They were ready to lay the foundation of the temple. The Levites were appointed to have the oversight of the work. When the builders had laid the foundation of the house, it was made an occasion of great celebration. The apparel of the priest, as it's described in Exodus 39, with the trumpets that they used, well, the use of two silver trumpets were made according to God's commandment, as given in Numbers chapter 10 and 11. In Solomon's time, these trumpets had been increased to 120, according to 1 Chronicles 5 and verse 12, and were employed as an accompaniment to songs of thanksgiving and praise. They were so employed on this occasion. The Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals. This was a class of musicians named for Asaph, 1 Chronicles 15, 16 through 24. And they did all of this after the order of David, the king of Israel. That is, as David had directed and ordained. And then in Ezra 3:11, it says there, they sang to one another. That is, by courses, and responding one to another. Thus they sang, praising and giving thanks to Jehovah. They said, For he is good, for his loving kindness endureth forever. All praise God because the foundation of Jehovah was laid. This is no precedent for laying the corner of stones of houses of worship and dedicating such houses, because this temple at Jerusalem was not a type of a physical house of worship, but this temple at Jerusalem was a type of the spiritual temple or building of God. You see, in the Old Testament, they worshipped with carnal things, and they had a material temple as a holy place. But in the New Testament, the church of God is his temple, and it's not the church house or the meeting place, but it is the people of God that constitute the church of God, and thus constitute the temple of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verses 16 and 17, Paul writes, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man destroy the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, and such are ye. I'm reading from the American Standard Version. It was translated and printed in 1901. But I want you to notice the use of the ancient pronoun ye instead of you. It doesn't say, know you not, that you are the temple of God. Now, that's the way most of the modern versions will read, because that's the way we speak in a modern language. But the pronoun ye is plural. And so when it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, he's not talking about an individual. He's talking about the Christians gathered together. Ye. We might say y'all down south. No, don't y'all know that y'all are the temple of God? That would be a plural way of saying it. And so here, listen to the ye's in this passage again. Know ye not. Plural, that ye, plural, are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, plural. If any man destroy the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, and such are ye, plural. And so it is the people that come to Christ that God uses as living stones to build his spiritual temple. In Hebrews chapter 3, and in verse 6, we read, I'm going to read verses 4 through 6. It says, every house is builded by someone, but he that built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were written afterward to be spoken. But Christ as a son over his house. Now notice, whose house we are. If we hold fast the boldness and the glorying of our Lord of hope, firm to the end, not in whose house a bunch of stone and bricks are, but in whose house we are. I want to read also from the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. And he discusses this spiritual temple that we become when we become Christians and we're added to God's temple. He says, ye also as living stones. Oh, these are not the old dead stones that you'd assemble together to put together the foundation of a material house, but living stones. These are people. Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Under that old law, they worshipped with carnal things. They had material temple made of material timbers, and they used instruments of music in their worship. Under the New Testament, the people themselves constitute the temple of God, and the worship is not playing upon harps, but upon the heart. And so that's why we sing in our worship. But we don't go back to the commandments of David and try to worship with instruments like David any more than we try to offer their sacrifices or rebuild that temple or reconstitute that priesthood. It's under the New Testament that we learn how to worship God acceptably as his church today. Now, when they laid that foundation in that old time, did you know that the old men wept? There was among them some old men that had seen the temple before Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed it, Solomon's temple in all its glory. And the emotion overwhelmed them. These many years later, when those old men saw the stones laid for this material temple. We're going to have to talk about that next week, but I'm going to go ahead and read the passage, Ezra 3, 12 through 13. But many of the priests and the Levites and the head of the fathers' houses, the old men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted alone for joy, aloud for joy. For so the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. We're going to discuss that in the next class, so mark that in your Bible, Ezra chapter 3, and we'll turn to that as the Warren County Radio Bible School begins on the next day. This is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. You may now be dismissed.